This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
This segment brought to you by Alpha Site Logistics. Hey, if you're out in Imperial Valley and you're going to do an event and you need support, well, for over 20 years, Alpha has been providing portable toilets, hand wash stations, hand wash trailers, shade trailers, dumpsters, and a whole lot more. They're licensed. They know all the permits. It's easy peasy. 760-362-8383. Well, kids, what are you up to?
Oh, not a whole lot. A happy Sunday to you.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, there was an off-road show and swap in Lakeside today at the Lakeside Radio. It's open until 2 p.m. Today's it's 12 o'clock right now, so you got another 2 hours to make it over to the rodeo. $10 entry fee, I believe, is what it is to get in there and check it out. Go in and check out some side-by-sides and some motos, and they got a couple things for sale for you over there. So we got that going on.
We had an election last week.
I voted.
Yeah. It was a small election. I looked at Randy Vopel's result, and there was like 24,000 votes for him. That's an extremely small number of votes.
Yeah,
not
that
many people
like
vote on the primaries.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
I voted for Randy.
Well, we'll see how he does in November. He made it to the end. A lot of elections, the top two vote getters at the primary go to the general election. So we'll see what happens.
Right. I can't believe that they have up to a month to post the results. To me, that's just crazy.
Well, it's weird, but you know what? They get a lot of last minute ballots come in the mail, and they don't have a lot of people. So they got this mountain of ballots they got to count.
We never had this problem before.
No, before it was out within 24 hours, you knew who it was within 24 hours. It's like
if they're giving you a month, this means that you're just opening the door.
Month for manipulation.
Exactly. So I have no sympathy nor, I mean, you see how many people are at the registrar office? I mean, there's plenty of people that'll do it, so. But anyway. Well,
speaking of the registrar office, Ed informed us last weekend that he had a little issues with his ballot and his...
Last week or week before? So I had a problem that I didn't get my ballot. And I went on the registrar's website and they said that I was unregistered. And that's weird because I've lived in the same house for 16 years and I've never missed an election. And it turned out that they had sent me something in the mail that had been returned to them. And so they unregistered me. So I had something else kind of screwy happen to me last week. I got my ballot in the mail, and I looked on it to see where I'm supposed to go to vote. And it didn't say anything. There was no place that says this is where you're voting supposed to be. And you know what? Years back when Trump ran, my voting place was the Islamic mosque in my neighborhood, and I thought that was kind of ironic that I went in there to vote for Trump.
Well, anywhere they can get a primary.
Well, they just need a big location.
It was just interesting. So I looked on the registrar's website to see where I'm supposed to go vote, and I type in my address, and I get sent to a sort of an error page, and showing for my street, Salazar Street. Sorry, we can't find any information for the address you entered. Try entering your address again or check with your local election official. If your address is correct and you still get this message, we may not yet have information about your next election. Election information should be available here 2 to 4 weeks before your next election. Check back here a little closer to election day. Well, I got this the day before the election. And I live on a street that was paved in 1958.
I don't understand how the Register of Voters,
in the past,
just all of a sudden has now lost your information, and you no longer, you don't have a place that you are you're officially supposed to go. That is your official location. And I know when you don't go to your official location that there could potentially be issues if you don't go to your official location.
So I don't, like, I've had two weird things happen, and I don't know if they have it out for me, if they're not capable of doing things properly, or this is just accidents. Could it be an accident? Maybe. I don't know. So last week.
But one thing after another, because you were unregistered, right? You looked it up. You were unregistered when you did it. You re-registered. You got your new ballot. And then when you re-registered and did all that, it had your street. They found your ballot. They mailed you your ballot. You got your ballot in the mail.
The ballot came to my house.
What kind of mailbox do you have? Do you have a secured box, or do you just have an old stash?
It's just the thing by the door. Like,
does it go in the house?
No. It's a box on the outside. But nobody ever goes there.
Well, it looks like somebody did.
We get all kind of packages, you know, from Amazon, eBay. Nothing.
I've got myself
wrong.
A mailbox that's that tall. You open it up, it drops down inside, and it takes a key to get your stuff out.
Huh. I don't think I have that kind of problem. I think it's more at the Registrar of Voters.
I think it's the Registrar of Voters.
Well, but why did they
and
dump
something
you?
That's going on?
That's weird.
No,
that's
I would weird. Go to the Registrar's office and ask to speak to a supervisor and say, "You need to explain to me why this is the case. You're a voter. You're entitled to know." I mean, just to blow it off and say, "Oh well, yeah." If all the people that do that, then that gives them the open door to do it all day long. I'd be raising hell.
Yeah, I would too.
Because that's my vote, and you have no right to tamper with my vote, my mail, and I want to know how I got taken off the list. I need to know, and I ain't leaving till you tell me. I mean, don't you kind of feel that way a little bit?
I do. It feels weird, and then like losing my street. Even though my ballot made it to my house,
I'm telling you, brother,
it's just weird.
You know. I know it sounds crazy, but you know, conspiracy theory. But maybe it's because you're so involved within, you know, the government and getting on all these boards.
I am involved in a variety of activities,
and they probably, you know, they're already.
Am I on somebody's radar?
You definitely are on somebody's radar.
They
absolutely.
Know I'm gonna vote?
Well, I mean, I know it sounds silly, but. Yeah, it's.
Oh, did I tell you I called? I messaged Andrea Kay, mm-hmm. who has the show on weeknights on this station, and she texted me and says, "Will you please call my show at 7 o'clock?"
So you were on.
So at 7 o'clock, her guy called me and says, "Are you ready to be on the radio?" Yeah. How would you like to be addressed? Okay, so I'm the guy on the radio, KCBQ off-road radio.
Oh, goody.
So
he thought to promote the show.
I plugged the show. Thank you.
I'm impressed.
I plugged the show, and I went on, and I explained my problem, and then she went on to talk about potential voter fraud and things that...
Oh, is that why you were talking to her? Because of your voter fraudness?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what we said. That's what we recommended him do.
Yeah.
And then she went on and talked more about voter fraud for that segment. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah, but I tell you, there's...
So I think I'm going to tell her about this, too, and maybe we'll go on and talk
Well,
more.
Just say, look, I have some more updated news from follow-up news. Check this out. But no, you need, you know, and you go try to talk to the registrar's office, somebody in management, and I will buy you a beer that you'll never get to them.
Oh, because I called and I got a nice guy. I don't know who he was, but he was... Seemed like he wanted to help, and he had the computer, and he was looking.
But specifically saying management.
Management, that's harder.
Who pays for them? We do. Hello? No, I mean, I'm just serious. Well, let me ask you this. Did you get the answer from him that satisfied your question?
He registered me, and I got my ballot.
No, but...
I haven't called for this.
Okay. But you got it. I mean,
I'll call them this week and find out why.
They're gonna say, he's calling back again because they're gonna see him on the phone.
Why is my street not on the
next Thursday? Burn his house to the ground. That way, we won't have to send him anything. Oh, all right, we're gonna take a quick break. You're listening to San Diego Off Road Radio. It's Dirt Radio with good old Audrey and Ed on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Hey, I recommended some folks to Wayne Miller Tire because they were looking to get some 37s on their off-road vehicle or their truck, and they didn't know where to go. And I says, have I got just the guy? Wayne Miller Tire, the man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah, you better go get those tires now. There's going to be a shortage coming up soon.
You mean could it be? There already are. I mean,
I know. So I'm telling you, if you need tires for your car, you better go pre-order. You're going to need it in the next 6 months. Better order it now because it's going to take 6 months to get in.
If we're lucky.
If we're lucky.
But the economy's fine. Not for you to worry.
Wayne Miller, Mobile Tires, 619-596-2800.
So he can patch a flat, right? If you can't get a new tire, he'll just fix your old one?
Yeah.
Okay. So... While I was, just a little cute story on tires, while we're in Alaska, you know, my cousin and I, you know, we get this little, the Uber guy takes us to the 4x4 rental and he goes, yeah, you better get one of them, you know, plug kits. Otherwise, you know, going up the haul road, he says, I had three flats going up.
Oh, wow.
I'm going, three flats? I says, they ain't crawling around out there and, you know, because no place to pull off, you know, unless you drive forever. So I'm thinking, well, jinx the shit out of his one. You know, come on.
Right.
So the rental place threw in a second spare tire just in case. Didn't have any problem at all. But if Wayne Miller can make a bucket load of money out there, let me tell you.
Well, you know, ice road truckers out there, you better be careful.
Yeah, duh.
I don't know. You know what scares me about Alaska? The state bird is the mosquito.
Well, you know, it's right. He's absolutely dead right. Those and that things, was so funny, man. Too, because that's all my cousin kept saying. Be ready, dude. Be ready, dude. They're going to haul you away because they will literally. And we only one area did we see him stop, take our picture. And about 15 of them jumped in the vehicle with us. We got them out. Just rolled the windows down and go 900 mile an hour. But he says, I cannot believe we're not getting inundated. I just cannot believe it. I said, I'm just totally thrilled. You're not going to get an argument out of me. Then one nails him on the thigh, and the blood comes up through his Levi's.
Through his pants?
Oh, man.
Through his Levi's. So that goes to show you what kind of skeeters they have up there.
Yeah, I've been up there, and they were terrible. Oh, my God.
I didn't have
they would eat me alive.
They were horrible.
That's because you're sweet.
We came to a stop in the rent a car. The air was kind of gray, which is kind of weird. And I come to a stop, and I look at the window on the driver's side, and there's a dozen mosquitoes bouncing off of it immediately.
Oh, yeah, trying to get to it.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's just that one square foot. And, like, to get out of the car, I'm not getting out of this car.
Somebody told me that
there's...
You're
making me itchy.
I need a bathroom.
Somebody told me there's a product that what they do is they take and they soak their clothes in it, and then they let their clothes dry. And then you can walk through any swarm you want. They won't come anywhere near you. But he didn't tell me what the product was. I mean, this was after
Hopefully
the fact.
Hopefully it's not toxic.
I don't know. But
sounds like it had to be.
But, yeah. But you're right. That is the bird of the country.
the national bird. So we talked about election. And it seems like there's some screwy stuff going on. But they did have an election. And there were results. Governor Newsom got 50% of the vote. And there was about a dozen people that ran against him, and I think nobody else got more than 2%. Well, no, the Republican, I forget his name, got like 12%.
So he's governor.
Brian Dale. That's who I voted for.
Brian Dale.
But see, there's no way.
Senator Dale.
You know, I would have bet you another $50. There's no way Newsom's getting out. No, only 6% of the state is Republican.
I just don't understand it with as many that we had, how many signatures we had for the recall and everybody that's so upset right now. And even the fact that you have a lot of Dems that are just super upset. You see LA's changing and LA's going red because they're upset. And
yeah, but the thing of it is, it's the way, I mean, trust me, it's not a fair election. You didn't see Newsom getting upset. You didn't see Newsom out there.
He wasn't even sweating it. No, he's not.
He knew.
He knew he was going to make governor again, and he'll be president. Hopefully not in my lifetime. That's his goal. No, seriously, that's the goal.
Oh, I believe you.
And I mean, he destroyed Sacramento. I mean, San Francisco as the mayor, and now he's destroyed the state. Well, he hasn't. Let me rephrase. He hasn't destroyed it. He's changed it to what the left wants.
A lot of good people are leaving the state. That's annoying.
Yeah, but it's. Yeah, I know, but I didn't even think about the governor's race. I knew he was not going to lose. I mean, I already knew that. But yeah, it's unfortunate.
So something that I can celebrate is that there's a position called controller. That's like the state accountant. Right. And this guy named Glazier ran for controller.
Right.
Now, Glazier is a state senator. He's about to term out. And he's the one that carried that bill to lose the portion of Carnegie State Vehicular Recreation Area. He's the one that carried the bill for the state to dispose of that land, to take it away from the off-roaders. And so he's terming out. So he decided to run for controller. And you know, in this election, the top two vote getters go on to the general primary. Election. This is the primary. And so Glazier got fourth in the election. And so he's out of a job.
Oh, okay, good.
So we're kind of celebrating that. Brian Jones ran, and he got the most votes. He got 54% to another guy got 46%. So, and his district has changed. All the districts are readjusting. So there's a good chance Brian Jones will
be representing. What about Fletcher?
Okay, I'm...
Oh, you're working your way down.
I'm working my way down. He's there. So this guy, Matt Gunderson, narrowly won his... And he's a Republican running for state senate along the San Diego County coast, from Orange County all the way to La Jolla. It's kind of a weird district. He won by a small amount, but... he ran up against two Democrats, and it looks like the Democrats split their vote. And so I don't think he'll get it in November, but you never know. Randy Vopel, he didn't get as many votes as Marie Waldron, 37 to 62%. That's kind of... interesting. I thought Randy Vopel would be a shoo-in, having been a incumbent for I don't know how many years. Nathan Fletcher, he got a lot of votes. He got 62% compared to Amy Reichert, got 29.
What?
And then another woman got about 10%. So Amy's going to go on up against Nathan in November.
Oh, okay.
So Amy's in there, and she's... endorsed by the San Diego County Republican.
And the San Diego County gun owners and, yeah.
And a lot, and the state Republican also
right
is behind her. Well, so she has a big uphill to climb.
Yeah, she hasn't. I mean, it's
tough.
The state is not going to change. I mean, gas can be $20 a gallon and I don't think the Democrats are for. I really think they want to change, but I don't think it'll ever happen.
Yeah, I mean, they like change.
Well, because you don't have to show an ID. You know, you can vote with no dates.
They want gasoline to be expensive.
Right. They're doing everything they can to make it.
I don't. Yeah. I put gas in my car. I put $85 in my little car the other day.
Well, the gas right now is, I was over right off of Greenfield, and it was $7.86.
Seven?
For mobile, regular, yeah.
I thought I paid a lot at 6:30.
Oh, no.
No, the one right next to the 8 in Greenfield right there.
Yep. Right.
I just drove by it.
Yeah. Out in East County? Holy mackerel. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of
Oh, and it's going up. You're going to see probably by the end of summer at least a minimum of 8.
Yep.
That's crazy talk. That's like race gas.
But nobody cares. I mean, it's perfectly okay. And look at the traffic. That's the insane thing. These people are still driving like crazy out there. Mm-hmm. Big diesel.
I'm riding my bicycle to work next week.
And well, look at diesel fuel.
You want to talk about that? My brother's in the military. He's a chief in the military, in the Navy. Yeah. And a lot of the military service members and a lot of the volunteer firefighters and a lot of other volunteer police department, they pay their own gas.
Sure.
There is no fund for them that pays that. The military guys that have to drive to a certain part on the base, they have to drive their own car across base to get from one point to the other.
Or if they live off base, they got to pay for all their own fuel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, But they don't care. They're going to. But see, the only problem I have with this scenario is, okay, fine, we'll stop burning gas. How do we get from point A to point B?
I mean, how much electricity is
can
there?
Can you afford a $60,000 electric car?
No, they're already looking at rolling brownouts and rolling blackouts for this. Well, and you want us to go to electric vehicles when we don't have the grid to support our current electrical.
But you don't even, you can't even afford an electric vehicle. I talked to Chevrolet. I said, where's a $10,000 electric vehicle? He goes, what are you talking about? I says, if you're going to make us, I mean, not you personally, but if you guys are going to make us run electric, the guy at McDonald's, even at $17 an hour minimum wage, cannot afford a 60 or 40. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. $40,000 electric car. You still can't afford it.
That's still a lot. I mean, a $25,000, just a basic transportation car.
But they've got
needs
this
to be available.
And then we're going to go, we're going to go buy oil from Saudi Arabia. We're sitting on more.
I thought we were energy independent.
We were.
Not too many years ago, we finally like crossed that threshold.
Well, of course.
Where we had all the oil we could burn.
We have. When I was in Alaska, I drove past the pipeline.
Really?
And what an interesting concept. This pipeline that goes from one end of Alaska to the other, there was, I learned so much about it. It zigzags. Mm-hmm. It sits on Teflon pads.
Yep.
Because it moves constantly the whole time.
Oh, with thermal contraction
was,
and expansion.
I mean, and they said that...
And they run it above ground because they don't want to freeze the ground.
Well, they do
don't
that.
Want the frozen ground to
But some of it's
down.
Underground, some of it's above ground. I mean, it was the most... That part of it, you know, was
interesting.
Really interesting.
Did you stop and put your hand on it?
I actually have a picture of me holding the pipe up because it was heavy.
Because you're strong. did it feel hot?
No, I didn't touch it. What, are you crazy?
I don't know. How close can you get to it?
Close as I am to you.
Okay.
Oh, now you got to show us the photo.
I don't know. I think
it gets hot from all the force of the fluid moving through it.
And then it showed these little things that run through it to clean the inside.
Well, they
got to
keep it warm, right? So it has the additional
it cold,
movement
the viscosity
to keep pushing it through. Yeah, exactly.
I think they put like a ball in it between.
See how heavy that is?
Yeah, bearings. Yeah, steel bearings.
It's not a ball. It's a weird machine.
Yeah, wow, that's a big... Big tube there you're standing under.
But it's a unit. It's about this big, and it runs through, and it cleans the walls. But you got to be careful with the – I mean, and then there were some pumping stations along the way, like a little city where there's no cell service. And I'm thinking, well, if you work for that company and you made somebody mad, that's where they're going to station you because you're out there in the middle of –
You're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, but I mean, but the whole idea of it. But no, we have more oil and we have more underground just in Alaska alone that would take care of the United States. But this administration,
they don't want to look at it.
They refuse. Well, look at All right, let's take a quick break. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by, that would be Chris Wiley at PRMI Mortgage. Tell them about it.
Primary Residential Mortgage, Inc. out in Alpine. He's here to help you with any of your home loan needs. Chris Wiley, he's an off-roader like us. He's an honest, reliable guy. Go ahead and give him a call at 619-722-1303.
All righty. So we were talking about the election, and
yep.
I don't think anybody's surprised as to how it shook out. And, you know, that's fine. I mean, we kind of
knew it. I'm disappointed. Yeah. Moving on, though, we had a couple of big things this weekend. The Baja 500 just happened.
Oh,
and
good.
Yes. And so there was, my favorites, the McMillans, unfortunately, had issues failed out, right? And
sometimes those trucks have problems.
Yeah.
Those $250,000 trucks.
They've been running that more. Ever since I've been living in San Diego.
The McMillans are out of East County, and Andy McMillan actually just posted on his Instagram that they are looking for additional race prep help. So if you've been in the industry, you've been around, you know how to build, you're interested, by all means, Andy McMillan, reach out to him, Google him, and
maybe
and
you
see.
Could help them.
Oh, no, this is mechanic work. It's like coordinating the parts and stuff.
Well, they do need help with, you know, with off-the-shelf stuff, ordering and inventory.
Yeah, I mean, this was specifically a parts mechanic. They need race prep help and to be a mechanic on site. So you'd be a chaser and you would be race prep mechanic. So
that would be fun to do for a year or two.
No.
Not your whole life.
No.
I had a technician that worked for me, and he got hired by Walker Evans to do the 500 and the 1,000.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I said, "You're really going to give up almost six digits to go do that?" "Oh yeah, but I'll be making so much money."
And, "Oh no, you don't make money."
And all I
it's
have to do is all I'm going to do is build trannies, and I'm so excited and diffs.
It's an experience. It's
three
not a money maker.
3 years later, I run into him at an independent shop. I said, "Hey, how'd the Walker Evans thing went?" "I would never do that again in a million years." He had me do everything from making sandwiches to building differentials to washing trucks to pumping up tire. I go, did I not tell you? Did you not listen?
That's off-road. That's racing.
And you're working 20 hours a day.
Oh, yeah.
That's the tough part.
I go, "Well, you made enough money to buy a home. Where do you live?" He goes, "I didn't make any money." I said, "I tried to tell you. You wouldn't listen to me."
It's all about the lifestyle, though. It's a different experience.
But I got
a
Walker Evans Bender.
It's 100% a different experience that you can't get anywhere else.
It's a bucket list.
The rush, the views, the trails all the way through. Traveling from one side of Mexico to the other side of Mexico, and there's nothing like it.
No, there is, too. It's being behind the wheel of the race truck.
Well, yeah.
That's where I want to see Audrey.
Not doing the tail end work. But anyway, I had such a good time grinding on him. But I got a fender with Walker Evans' signature on it.
Nice.
Hanging in my garage.
Nice.
The only way I'd let him take my tech.
Nice.
He laughed. I'll send you a fender. For that, I'll send you a fender.
It's worth it.
Yeah. Solid. But so anyway, I mean, I don't know what to tell you folks about the election. It is what it is. You know, we're in a democratically controlled one state. It is.
Yes.
All right.
Baja 500?
Yeah, let's go back to Baja.
That's more fun, racing. So Bob McCochran won the race.
McCracken.
McCracken?
Yeah.
I thought it was McCarran. McCarran. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Rob McCarran. Yeah, I've met him in person. It's Rob McCarran.
Okay, anyway, he won it.
He won the race.
Yes.
He always wins.
He's like 57.
Oh, he's older than that.
I think he's a little older than that, maybe.
He's been racing for a long time. Well,
he's been racing with the McMillans, didn't he? Him and Brock, they did it alone, didn't they?
They Ironmanned it, basically. The top three all soloed. And third place, who is an icon in Baja racing and in racing for decades, was Larry Rosler.
Yeah.
Got third place.
Yeah. And
last year he was in second place. Larry Rosler.
No, Larry.
Oh, L-A-R. Okay.
Yeah,
Rosler.
Yeah.
Who was running second and the leader.
Who won motorcycle?
He Ironmanned it too? I didn't know Larry. I didn't realize Rosler Ironmanned it.
Yeah, how about motorcycle?
A team of four led by Juan Carlos
Salvaterra.
Salvaterra?
Yep.
Three of the riders are from Spanish-speaking countries, which is pretty cool. Pretty interesting.
They're never going to get lost. They can have perfect. Okay.
From Argentina, Bolivia, and Mexico, and another guy from the U.S.
Did the Velodosas place?
I don't know.
They were in the top 10.
I interviewed that family when the son wasn't able to drive. He wasn't old enough to drive. I had him on another radio station, and I used to bring him in before the 500 and the 1,000. And that's when the father would come in, because the father, and I says, when are you going to let the kid have the truck? He says, when he learns to drive. And the kid get all fired up. Now, the dad's basically, I think, retired, and the kid's doing all the driving.
That's awesome.
Great family. Great. Just a great family.
Yeah.
And that's what off-road racing is all about. It's all about family.
It sure is.
You know, because without it, you'll never make it, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah, my favorite, Wayne and Kristen Matlock. You've had them on KUSI a couple of times. Yeah. They race the side-by-sides, husband and wife. They compete against each other all the time, and they take their kids out with them, the boys. I love them. I love that family. It's a great family. Yeah. It's a huge sport to be in.
Who else? You have the other standings?
Those that play together stay together.
For the first 35 years of Baja racing, the motorcycles won the overall. I remember looking at the results, and I'd compare the times of the first motorcycle to the first four-wheeler. and it was about an hour difference.
Right. But now, and they let the motorcycles go first, right?
Yeah.
I bet they're not. I bet that's not the case today.
So I compare the times this year, and they were, the first motorcycle was about an hour behind the first four-wheeler. Mm-hmm. And those trophy trucks have come a long way.
Yeah.
And even with four riders switching, and you know, riding a motorcycle is a lot more tiring than driving sure. those trucks. Those trucks have like 36 inches of wheel travel.
If not more.
And they have these big, very expensive shock absorbers.
And they're just...
And
just
1,800 to 1,000 horsepower.
Cruising down the road. Unless you make a mistake, you're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
hit a chuck hole or a boulder.
Well, it takes a lot to mess up those trucks. Yeah. And they do mess up.
No, I mean...
But it takes a lot.
They had one down at El Cajon Ford, and it was the owner of the L.A. Dodgers. And mm-hmm. it was his personal truck. It was all painted out Dodgers. And when you get up close and personal to those things, they're as wide... It's like three of your Suzukis. They are so wide and so tall and so long, and the shock travel is like feet. It's not in inches. It's
yeah,
in
they
feet.
Have 3 feet of travel.
It's just insane.
The motorcycles have 1 foot of travel.
And then when you ride, driving it, I mean, you don't even feel it. You know, I mean, it's just.
It takes a lot. It takes a mountain to push you over. So I have a little story about Baja 500, because in the 90s, I used to do these races in Mexico called the Tecate Enduro, and that was one of the hardest races in North America. That was over 7 hours of riding as hard as you can. Well, I finished five of them, and I finished around 38th to 40th out of 120 starters. So I was competent.
That's good.
I wasn't a star, but I was a guy who could ride. So yeah. I brought one of my buddies, Jeff, 1 year, I think in 96 or 97. Jeff, he's going to do it with me. So we don't do it like together. You sign up and you get your minute. So Jeff had a good race, and Jeff was racing mountain bikes then, and he was really fit. He was a lot more fit than I was. And he ended up getting 14th place.
Oh,
first
wow.
time he ever rode in Mexico.
Wow.
Got 14th place.
That's fantastic.
Pretty cool. So this guy that we both know, Freddie Willard, was a longtime Baja racer. So he was putting a team together for the next Baja 500. The Tecate Enduro is in April, so 2 months later is the 500. So they invited Jeff to be on the team. So I went with him to the team meeting, and I took him down to pre-run. I gave him one of my bikes to ride, XR600. And he had a section through the pine forest. So those of you who don't know Baja, the center of the peninsula, there's a forest. There's pine trees, and it's slower through there. And so Jeff said that when he went through the pine forest during the race, there was a guy trying to pass him the whole time. And it took him like 30 miles to pass Jeff. Well, that guy was Ty Davis, who ended up winning numerous Baja races. So
wow.
Pretty impressive that he held off Ty Davis. So he was in the 250 class. So he rode a 250 motorcycle. And usually the 500s would win. And that was in the days when it was only two strokes.
Yep.
Jeff got, his team got six overall, first 250.
Wow.
And Jeff swore he would never race down there again. So they had a bike, they had a YZ250 with a WR, a wide ratio transmission. He said that thing would run at 100 miles an hour. So imagine riding on a dirt road you barely know. You've mm-hmm. ridden it once or twice in pre-running. He
and
says his sleeves are up to his elbow. His goggles are smashing his face. And he's in the race, like, I can't let off. Mm-hmm. I got to go. And he's holding the throttle wide open.
Oh, so maintaining
it was
between
terrifying.
80, 70, 80, 90 miles an hour the whole time.
He said that bike was perfectly built. This guy, Tex, built it for him. It was perfect. It could just barely pull the top RPM and top gear. The gear ratios and the mm-hmm. power, the suspension, everything was just perfect. And
wow.
he had a great day. He got his trophy. He goes, I'm never going down there again. That's
it's funny
scary.
They say that, and then about 6 months later, a year later. Because, see, we have a tendency to forget the negative.
And then go back. And,
all we remember is the glory.
Oh, my God. Women have babies, second and third kids.
Oh. Hey, I rode with a lady at Uber in Alaska. She's maybe a couple years older than you. You got eight kids.
Oh, my God.
I said, girl, I says, do
that's
you need
my cousin, how my cousin said, Dana has
do you know where babies come from?
I said, you need a TV? I mean, I'll buy you one if you want.
My cousin Dana is 42 years old and has 8 kids.
Good Lord.
You know Marty Smith, the motocross champion, the great American who passed away recently? He was drafted on a Baja 1000 team. And he said, the only way I will go is if a helicopter follows me the whole way. Because you're way out there. And if you get, you know, the time is of the essence if you get hurt. And they said, okay. And back then, there were no helicopters down there. It was a big deal to get a to get permission to have. So they did it. They got a helicopter. He raced, and his team won the Baja 1000. So nowadays, every top team, every big trophy truck team, there's a helicopter following them.
Sure.
Well, you know what also was this weekend that you don't have to be as professional. You don't have to have $1 million for your race prep and your team and everything and what you can do.
What
else was this weekend that you can go out with, you know, start with $500, throw $500 into it, and you go out and have one of the greatest times off-road and clean up a bunch of trash along the way. The Gambler 500 was this weekend in Oregon.
The Gambler, oh, in
Oregon. The Gambler 500 is one of my favorites.
You know about $500
beater car. You spend $500.
Oh, a car, not a motorcycle.
Yeah. Oh, nope. Any car. Doesn't matter what the car. Doesn't matter make, model. Doesn't matter. $500 beater car. There's Pintos. There's Civics. There's
rental
there's,
fleets.
Yeah. I think the Crown Vic is the most. Yeah, they put big tires on it. Maybe a lift.
That
maybe.
Would be fun to see.
And yeah,
you just
it's
cut away
so
the body. So
oh, you just
fits.
Cut away. Oh, people, they
well,
do
that's like the
some
lemons.
Of the craziest things. Yeah, they do some of the craziest things yeah, building
the,
out.
Yeah, the lemons, their lemons kind of have a race like that where you can actually bribe the coaches or the bribe the officials with money and booze. All right, hey, let's take a quick break. I think we'll stick on this subject right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to listening to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by S&S Magazine. Go to SSORM.com. Stay on top of what's going on in the off-roading community. Steve and Sherry do such a phenomenal job with it. They have a classified section. If you want to sell something, you're going to buy something. It'll keep you up to date on what's going on out in the East County Dunes. What's open, what's closed, where you can go, where you can't go. It's huge. So check them out at SSORM.com. SSORM.com. All right, we're looking at Gambler videos.
Are you showing me pictures of the cars in it? And boy, it looks like Mad Max.
Anything you can find
crazy.
Around your house, anything you can find. It's pretty much what it is Mad Max. And
yeah,
Mad
just
Max
something
vehicles.
Laying in your
anything
backyard.
Anything you can find in your backyard, what you got, and, you know.
Spray paint the car. I think the big wheels, the tires. Oh my
bolt
goodness!
On and
look
screw
at these tires.
On anything that
well, you
got to
cut all the fender wells
you
out.
You got to cut the fender wells out.
These
usually
are not
got
pneumatic
a wheel
tires.
Spacer and
no, but
look at those tires.
Well, yeah, those are
what tractor tires.
They're
I don't
like know. Off of a like a not a bulldozer, but something that you know, like or like a bobcat, you know, that works out in the woods. Well, there's no rules.
Yeah, there's no rules.
Yeah,
there's no rules to the cars.
That's the rule. There's no rules.
Yeah.
That'll get you down the ice road.
Boy, it'd shake your eyeballs out.
Look at this. This is a van. They cut the entire top off the van and had a custom roll cage from the top of the windshield down to the back and then put
Do
it
they
in
require
it. It's
a roll
own,
cage?
It's its own mudder machine.
Yeah.
That was a van?
That was a van. Yeah.
At one time.
That was one of those.
Wow, now it looks like one of those Tesla trucks.
And it's probably a front-wheel drive unless it's a Chevy or a Ford.
Front-wheel drive, two-wheel. Most of them are two-wheel drive, and you'd be surprised. They go everywhere.
Well, sure.
They don't, you know,
And
minimal.
What's the goal of this race? Is it to win
just
the
to have
race?
Fun.
No, it's just to have fun. What, they just
you
give
mentioned
you,
trash.
They give you waypoints. They give you So they have this new app that they started, and I love this. They have this new app that they started. It's called Sons of Smokey. This is the one for Oregon that just went on this weekend. And what they do is they go around, they find trash, they collect trash, they bring it back. They try and bring back as much trash as they possibly can. If you're in a, you know, vehicle, you know, your little Miata, there's a lot of Miatas, there's a lot of Saturns, there's a lot of Pintos. So you're you're in a smaller vehicle, you can't get the mattress, you can't get, you know, you can't tow the car out, you can't tow or get the dresser out. You drop a pin in this app, which is called Sons of Anarchy, where that trash is, and then the other gamblers race to get it and get it out. And it's known for
we should have that in our desert.
Lot of the trash. Oh, I can't even believe that app. I want to use that app. I want to start that. We need to grow that as much as
can
we possibly
find
can.
An app developer
it can't be
and work out
limited
something?
To just, or can we just do another portion of this app, you know, and turn it into just anywhere, like a Tread Lightly thing or something like that, that everybody can have access to that we can utilize for this. I mean, last year alone, there was different, they put on Gambler 500s throughout. I mean, it's growing in popularity. Before, it used to be like 50 to 100 vehicles that would show up. Now you're getting like 1,000 vehicles that are showing up.
And it's all over the United States.
And it's all over the United States. It's grown over the years. So Southern California has one. We have one that they also kind of turned into like the Broha here, where they go out and they kind of set up a course, kind of give you a course with waypoints and stuff. And then you stop and pick up trash along the way. But it's, again, it's a free for all. You come up with the crazy Mad Max, you know, the best creative designs that you possibly can. You win trophies off of that. They give out, you know, different little remembrance things. And
it's a
lot of fun.
That'd be a good SCORC.
Yeah. But last year, what was it? I seen the thing 300. I don't know why it says cubic tons. Ed said it can't be cubic tons because that's different, the volumes of it. But
well,
they say 300.
Cube is volume and tons is weight. So they're different. It could be metric tons.
Metric tons, 300 metric tons of trash across the United States that was picked up and removed out of the deserts and forests and different. But that's
still a lot of trash.
Huge.
To pull
that's
out.
A
and
lot
we love
of
pulling trash.
Trash
out of those places.
That's
mm-hmm.
what
Nobody
we do.
Nobody likes to see it out there.
Yes. Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, so folks, check it out. Maybe you've got a car in a garage or in a backyard that you could turn it into.
Yes, Sons of Smokey is the new app that they're using for it, and I think that's just absolutely amazing. We need to get that across the United States and so that we all have access to it and that we can all share in cleaning and keeping Mother Earth clean.
That would be fun to see that app working. Go out there like, oh, look at that big – what did we see? We saw a sofa, a couch that – when we did the Painted Gorge cleanup.
Oh,
we
gosh, it was an entire living room setup. It literally was, yeah, it was the side tables, the TV stand, the couch. It was literally an entire living room setup.
I think there
was
a lamp.
Yeah, there was a lamp. But it was all
shot
up.
Yeah, but somebody, it was shot up.
Oh, yeah, it was all shot up. It shot the pieces, you know.
Shot and junk and
the side tables were just shot all, you know, it was horrible. But before and after photos, you can see our before and then see our after we took the deuce over there and we got everything all loaded up into the
Everything into the deuce.
Oh yeah, shout out to Why More Products in El Centro, David Byram, and Why More Products in El Centro. It's a metal shop out there,
right?
And he brought his 6x6 out and his deuce,
and that thing will go anywhere.
We loaded
you
yeah
let us drive that was a neat vehicle.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Mean, it's primitive.
Drove
one
in the army.
He's taken out cars out of Plaster City. He's taken cars out of Painted Gorge. He's picked up so much trash. I just love that man. He got the one out of last year for our lost lizard. Somebody called out a Saturn that was in the wash that was broke down and shot up in the wash that somebody left and by one of our checkpoints over close to Huff Road. And so it was the wash next to our wash. They had gotten off course and, you know, which is not that much. You can't really get lost out there, but they were in the wash next to the wash that we were running and found a car. And so they told us and they, you know, told us the general location of it. So we went out, we found it, dropped a pin, sent it out to, Imperial Valley Off-Road Recovery, which is David Byram and Why More Products in El Centro. And David went out and picked it up and got it out of there for us. So.
Now he has a brand new Saturn to drive to work.
With real bullet holes, not the stickers.
It's the new gambler right there.
Absolutely.
Just an engine swap. So tomorrow, the California Fish and Game Commission will be looking at the Joshua Tree for a potential listing. Joshua Tree, there's a lot of them out there in the California desert. Mojave, there's millions of individuals. And the group that's pushing this, that made the
claim,
the listing petition, the Center for Biological Diversity. It's an organization that is widely not liked by government agencies. They are very Sioux happy. Their goal is to two things. They want to control the land, and they want to make money off of the Endangered Species Act. Right. Yep. So they know that if you list a species, if a species gets listed and you sue the government related to that species, and not only if you prevail, but if you get the government to change a regulation, you get legal fees back.
Mm.
And this organization has a lot of lawyers, and they're looking for endangered species claims all over. But to get more claims, you need more species on the list. And they have a list of hundreds of species that they have petitioned to get on the endangered species list. And one of the ones they're really pushing is the Western Joshua tree. Now, one reason they're going after the Joshua tree is because it's all over the Mojave Desert, an area where people like to off-road. They like to go driving, and they have a lot of racing out there. And so they don't like us driving vehicles in the desert. And it's almost like they've never been to the desert.
You ever hit a Joshua tree in a vehicle?
Oh, no.
It'll destroy your vehicle.
Really?
So what makes you think that off-roaders are going to run over a Joshua tree? Oh,
well, they're not claiming that off-roaders. They're talking about climate change, and believe it or not, fires will damage those trees.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
You know why there's fires? Because there didn't used to be fires out there, but there's new grass that grows that's not indigenous to that area.
I wonder why there's new grass that grows. Was it some reason that they brought in the grass because they said that they were doing work out there and the workers were causing too much dust in the air, so they decided to bring in and plant grass, and then the grass just kept growing, and then guess what? It's overtaking a lot of the indigenous plants.
Is that like cutting down eucalyptus trees at
Oceana
Dreams? Is that on the same
vein? It's pretty much vein? The same vein.
They're trying to improve it, and they just screw it up.
Every time, because they don't think down. Screw it, I run the show.
So
Become a member of SDORC, $25. We need your support. Become a sponsor for our commercials for us. www.sdorc.org. info@sdorc.org. If there's an issue going on, let us know about it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Had a lot of fun. Don't go anywhere, folks. Yak Radio coming up. Some more news from Plano, Texas on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit SDORC.org. That's SDORC.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.
This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.